This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us again. This is Cece Bazar with OpenView Labs, and I am joined once again by best-selling author Jill Conrath. Jill, thrilled to have you back.
I am delighted to be back one more time.
Yeah. So, Jill, we've been talking a lot about agile selling, your newest book. It came out in late May, and we've talked a lot about rapid learning and mindset. And now I have a question that came out of reading this book that I think a lot of people want the answer to. How can we, as salespeople, elongate our career by doing less? Because this is a fascinating concept, and I'd love for you to dive in with us and tell us a little bit about how you think you can do this.
I have a lot of thoughts on it. It's a great question. How can we elongate our sales career by doing less? First of all, I'd like to just say that one of the questions that people have asked me lately with agile selling is, you know, because I talk so much about the need to be learning and testing and experimenting and all this kind of stuff. And they say, well, Jill, I am so busy as it is. I don't have time to learn all this new stuff. I don't have time to learn LinkedIn. I don't have time to, you know, research what's going on and trends in the industry. I don't have time. And I look at them and I say, well, how much time are you spending doing things that aren't working so well for you? I bet a lot. Yeah. And what's interesting is, like, I'll say, well, you know, say you make 100 calls. How many people get back to you? Yeah, well, they're not a whole lot. Well, say you have 10 meetings. How many of them advance to a second conversation with the prospect? And if we take a look at the significant amount of failure that we have built into our sales process, we have two things we can do. We can either keep doing more so we can, you know, so we can meet our numbers, or we can take a serious look at this, what we're doing, and say, how can I do less and meet my numbers? Like, what can I do to be more effective so that I can have fewer, I can make fewer calls and have more prospects who are more interested? You know, I mean, it's like I'm kind of turning the world on its head when I'm saying more is not the answer. What's the answer is less, but better less, and doing it better.
I think everyone's ears just perked up. Tell us, what do we need to do less? Because I know everyone who's listening to this podcast right now is listening while doing 30 other things, because that to-do list goes on forever.
Okay. Since we have everybody listening, we've got 30 things to do, let's just talk about the first thing that you just said, the to-do list and the 30 things that you have to do. Most people, when they have a to-do list like that, are constantly multitasking. Like, I would guess that a good share of people who are listening to this right now are checking their email.
Oh, absolutely.
Or reading something online, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now we've got this poor brain who's getting bogged down again. It's going back and forth between one task and another task. And that is away. I mean, you want to get more time back in your life? Stop multitasking. Stop jumping back and forth. Either focus on this podcast that you're listening to right now, or shut us off and go do your email and get it done.
Yep.
Because you can't do both concurrently. And there's some extraordinary research on multitasking that I think is phenomenal. It shows, for example, one guy, his name is Harold Paschler. He's a scientist from the University of California. He said that when people try to do two cognitive tasks at once, and by that I mean things that require thinking, their intellectual capacity can drop from that of a Harvard MBA to an 8-year-old.
Wow.
Can you stand that?
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, which means you're not thinking all that well. So you get all these smart people who are trying to do all this work, and they're trying to multitask to get everything done. Their thinking power is degrading rapidly. So we got to stop it. And a lot of people who are in sales, one of the biggest things they're doing is jumping back and forth between emails and tasks, you know, constantly checking email. So I'm over here, I'm trying to learn this about my customer. I'm trying to put together a proposal, or I'm trying to, you know, create something for a conversation and focus on this one customer and research them, and then I check my email. Well, this constant going back and forth is awful too. And research again on this multitasking with email and texting shows that when this happens, women's IQ scores, IQ, their intellectual capacity, drops 5 points, which isn't good. But for men, the drop is 15 points in IQ.
Wow.
So anybody right now who's trying to email and listen here or email and check their email and work on a proposal is getting stupider by the minute.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that their quality of what they're producing isn't so good. The prep for the meeting isn't as good. So there's a huge need for everyone, person who wants to do less, to start chunking their time and blocking their time and only focusing on one task at a time. Monotasking is crucial today.
Now, how do you in sales recommend someone do this? Is it setting up a model day? How do you make sure that you're being as efficient as your time with your time as possible and making sure that you have things in manageable chunks?
Right. I think we need to look at our day in 15-minute chunks.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean we have to switch tasks every 15 minutes, but every 15 minutes we, you know, should be thinking about as a finite unit that you want to spend 3 15-minute working on this proposal, or you want to spend an hour and a half, you know, just 6 15-minute. But we need to really think about it from that perspective. And then we need to block it out. So rather than going back and forth like email, we need to schedule times to look at our email, and we need to have these times on our calendar. These are email times. You know, I'm going to spend 30 minutes on email at this particular time in the day. I'm going to spend or these three times during the day. We do not have to respond immediately. We cannot do good thinking if we're always doing things like that. So that would be one thing. And to really plot out your day ahead of time, again, if you take a look at brain research, it shows that prioritization is the most intensive brain activity of all.
Absolutely.
And it's really hard for your brain to evaluate what to do first, what to do second, because it has to compare every task to each other. So you've got a list of 20 things that have to be done. And when you say, well, which is the most important thing, your brain has to go and scan all of them and try to decide, and then which is the next most important thing. If you do anything else before prioritizing, you've already put your brain into it's already wearing itself out. You know, it's like a muscle. It's wearing itself out because you've already done your email and you had to make all these little teeny decisions with every email requires a decision, you know. So what we need to do is know our priorities when we start the day. Now, some people like to set their priorities in the morning for the day. They might identify the top three things that they need to get done, but they set it in the morning. Other people who need to get on the phone right away or check their emails right away because of the nature of their job will set their priorities at the end of the day. So when they simply come into the office in the morning, they know what they have to do, that they have to get on the phone and do these things. And then they stop, you know, from 8 till 9, they make calls, and then they stop and check email or, you know, whatever they do, but have times blocked for these things. And by the way, we become more proficient if we can't allow ourselves to jump back and forth.
I think that people are probably listening to this right now, Jill, thinking this is a great idea, but how do I go backwards? I've already set the precedent that I will respond to emails in 15 seconds. How do I go back to my change these behaviors and change what my team expects of me?
Yeah, I really think that people have to just kind of get over that thing and just, you know, I don't know a customer in the world who truly expects you to be back to them in 15 seconds.
I mean, you hear that, everyone? They're not waiting for you with bated breath.
They're not. They send something off to you, you know, say, I need more information on this, and then they go on to their next task. They're not sitting there with bated breath going, okay, how soon will he respond? How soon will she get back to me? They're not sitting there waiting for that. They've gone on to their next task. And so we need to realize that if we get, you know, if we check our email three hours later, they have not died.
Right.
In that interim. That they're okay with it.
I mean, I think about it too from a prospecting side. How many times have you sent emails and it's been days before anyone's gotten back to you? You know, I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying they're not giving you that same courtesy of that instant response. And it's okay to take some time in between your email. I think chunking in your day is hugely important. We call it going dark. If we're working on something here and we know that we need to put 100% into it, you say, I'm going dark. I won't be on email for the next hour, but I'll be sure to check after that.
Yeah. You know, some of the things that I have to do, I mean, I it's so easy, like even when you're checking email, to get seduced into other things.
Of course.
And I personally have a problem with that because because I like to learn new things, and I sign up for a lot of newsletters, and they come in, and there's an interesting article, and the next thing you know, I'm on that article, and that article references some other article, and boom, I'm down the rabbit hole in no time flat. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, I have to actually use a software program.
What is it?
I use Antisocial.
All right.
Because it blocks me from going online. I have to, sometimes I just make sure that I don't have my browsers open. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I really have to discipline myself because I'm just terrible. It's, you know, we all are. We just kind of get sucked down that rabbit hole. So we really have to start using technology to protect us from it. And even another distraction type of thing, like say you're working on a proposal that you have to send out to somebody and it requires you to think about things, but even having a busy background behind your proposal, you know, as you're working, your whole desktop and everything is all busy and distracting. I mean, when I use Word, I actually use the focus function. Under view, you can choose focus because it blacks out everything else.
That's great.
Or when I'm on another program, I'll use Backdrop, another application that just allows the one thing I'm working on to show, nothing else.
That's fantastic. I think those are all things that everyone listening to this podcast need to go download and start using today.
Well, they do
save your brain and save your IQ.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about doing less and achieving more. I mean, the whole thing needs to be being cognizant of what's taking us away from it and how we can improve. I mean, we really haven't talked about focusing on ways to improve yourself and to get better at anything that you do, but that also is part of it. I honestly think that we should always be focusing on how can we increase the results, and we need to look at everything as if it's an experiment.
Yep.
You know, how can we improve? If we've got, you know, we started out earlier talking about 10 calls and, you know, how can you, or 10 meetings and you get one follow-up meeting schedule. Well, what can you do to get yourself to 2? And how can you get yourself to 3? You know, and we need to always be focusing on improving our personal best so that we're getting better. Because when you do that, before long, it'll take you a lot less effort to have better results.
And that's what we all want, right? Do more, get more with less.
Get more with less. And actually, the truth of it is when you do that, you have more fun because you're not hitting your head against the wall all the time.
Absolutely.
So that paying attention to getting better and constant improvement is really key to enjoying the profession and having maximum success.
I think this is great, Jill. Thank you so much for joining us once again. If you'd like to learn more about how you can get more results with less work, be sure to check out Jill's Agile Selling. Jill, thanks again for being here.
I'm glad you invited me. Thank you.
Take care.